councillor whether they foreshadow any potential conflict of interest with an item on the agenda. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. I can't remember the name of it. I've got a conflict of interest for the Cormorant Reserve, as that's very close to where I live. It would be my local reserve. Because it's just for noting, I'll be remaining in the room, but I would like it noted.
As a general conflict of interest. Thank you. If there are no others, then we can go ahead with confirmation of the minutes. If someone would like to move confirming minutes, that's Councillor Masika moved and seconded Councillor Pryor. And that's all those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously, thank you. Now we have a deputation. Regarding stray cats. So, Ms. Burnt, yes, please come forward. And Mr. Harrison, our Chief Executive, will just give you some brief advice about the microphone. So you have 5 minutes to address us. Yes, please come right up here. We've got a seat for you.
Just want to preface this by saying I've never, ever been to a council meeting before. I've never been passionate about anything before. So if any of my language is a little bit strong, this is just because I am a resident of this area, and these were just my natural true feelings when I was writing. So dear members of the Marion Council, as a resident of this community, I'm concerned about the increasing number of stray cats roaming around the council area. I recently discovered this issue firsthand when I rescued a mother cat and her two kittens from behind my shed in January on a very hot day. Fast forward a couple of months, and to my surprise, I realised that I was living in the midst of a cat colony. I appreciate the council's efforts to introduce cat nighttime curfews and desexing laws. However, I believe we need to take further action to address this problem. Stray cats birth feral cats. They are pests and disseminate our wildlife, cause disturbances with their fights, and leave unpleasant marks on our properties. These problems are especially prevalent within walking distance to Oakland's wetlands, where neighbours reported seeing more cats in the area. With the help of Cats in Crisis Incorporated and other concerned neighbours, I have trapped a total of 11 cats and kittens of different ages and at least 3 litters. 8 were caught in the last fortnight. I'm grateful for the assistance of Cats in Crisis Incorporated. It is not their responsibility alone, however, to address this issue. Last night, another 5 cats were caught at Plimpton by a Cats in Crisis volunteer. That's 16 cats in the space of just over a week. And I am not a professional cat trapper. During this time, I called Marion City Council and was advised by an employee that council have their hands tied. That was the phrase used, since the Lonsdale shelter was not currently accepting new animals. However, I've also been informed in writing from the RSPCA that they are contractually obliged to take stray cats from the Marion City Council area. The lack of clarity on this matter may result in more cats being let go on the streets, and council employees need to be trained in what to advise residents, and the websites should reflect the correct information. I believe that the current desexing laws have not gone far enough. We need to urge that state government change the desexing laws, as cats born before 1 July 2018 are not 5 years old yet, and male cats can impregnate a female up to the age of 14 years. It is crucial that all cats are desexed despite their age, or at least to the age of 15. Councils will have more leverage to make such changes. Moreover, I suggest that council offers an alternative to residents if the RSPCA and other rescue organisations are at capacity. Implementing the Cat Community Program initiated by the Australian Pet Welfare Foundation that traps, neuters and releases these animals would at least prevent multiple litters from being born. This approach would have many benefits for councils, including fewer cats being sent to shelters, less euthanasia and stress that this causes for shelter staff, fewer complaints, happier residents, fewer nuisance cats, and less wildlife predation. The community cap program has several elements. I'm just going to read a little section from their website. Foremost is the sexing of urban stray cats. They target areas, they capture, desex, and provide with veterinary care, such as vaccinations and microchipping. Following treatment, if healthy and have been thriving outdoors, the cats are returned to where they live, to their home territories. This still prevents a vacuum effect when other stray cats come and take over a now empty area. There is more information about them on their website, info@petwelfare.org.au. I'm grateful for the work of Cats in Crisis and other similar charities who work tirelessly to help these cats. And I can tell you, I've been in the homes of these people. They are not rich people. They are spending so much money on food and litter, trying to help these animals. And these animals, they're not at fault. They're just doing what comes naturally. I would urge Marion City Council to assist them financially with donations and help cover the costs of desexing, as this year has been exceptionally tough. Cats in Crisis are cleaning up council's cat problem and get zero funding, and that should be a point of embarrassment for council. In doing research for today's meeting, I discovered a mural on Castle Plaza Shopping Centre costs $45,000. As a resident of this area, I believe this is unacceptable use of our rates, especially when there is a cat crisis and animal shelters are bursting at the seams. Feeding, vet care, kitty litter all costs money. A wall did not need paint, but these animals need our help. It is wrong to misuse residents' funds in this way. A mural will not make people spend more money at Coles and be better for business, but we will become like a third world country with roaming future feral cat colonies that keep getting bigger.
Ms. Byrne, you have exceeded your 5 minutes now.
I've just got one more paragraph to go.
All right, whiz through that. Thank you.
Just to be clear, I'm not here to ask for a cat culling or euthanasia. I'm here to ask for a cat community program to control the numbers so we can live in a safe, disease and cat mess free community. We need to dissect more cats despite their age. These cats are not at fault. They do what comes naturally. It's the humans who let the cats down that are at fault. Unfortunately, we can't make everyone do the right thing, so we need to manage this better. Any trapped cats taken to a shelter that are claimed as a pet without being microchipped or desexed should warrant a substantial fine on top of the cost of the animal being desexed by the owner. I have received an email from council asking me there is an investigation underway, but how is this being done as no one has reached out to talk to me and I know what is happening?
We really will have to call it to an end there because we only allow 5 minutes. Any other material can be sent in by email, and I know that you've already made some submissions in that regard. What I want to do on the spot is ask one of our relevant managers, Mr. Della Coombs, to provide some response to that. Now, because we're in a very formal sort of setting in a general council meeting, it's not for us to now get into a debate about the topic, but we have heard what you've had to say, Ms. Burnt, and thanks for the information about Cats in Crisis and the Pet Welfare Organisation as well. But I think it's important that on the spot we get Mr. Della Coombs to respond with a few points. But I would ask you kindly to take your seat in the gallery again, and you may be interested to hear what Mr. Della Coombs has to say. And, of course, you can continue with your campaign through emails or as you see fit. Mr. Della Coombs.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, through the chair, in a general sense, council supports the view that cats are a problem, and council has been alerted to this issue over a number of years, and Marion Council has led advocacy for statewide reforms, seeking those reforms from the state government, the previous state government, ultimately rejecting calls for statewide controls and asking council to come up with its own bylaw. And there was quite a process to get that through in the format that we have been able to get that through eventually. The specific issue in this area has only recently been brought to our attention, and staff have accordingly investigated, and that officer involved in the community safety team continues investigating to this day in correspondence with Ms. Burnt. We can't confirm the comments made around the closure of the RSPCA. Certainly in the written communication from City of Marion is consistent with the RSPCA's contractual obligations to the City of Marion. When they closed several weeks ago, it's the first time that they have actually closed their Lonsdale shelter ever, following a similar closure in the north of Adelaide with the Animal Welfare League. So it's definitely an ongoing and increasing issue. However, we do have the animal management plan up for review tonight to go out to public consultation, and that does contain a number of key strategies and actions that involve greater education, greater targets to deal with desexing, and also opportunities for the City of Marion to start up a focus group to hear from some of these agencies we haven't spoken to. Obviously, they're not based in our council area, but we want to get more of a picture about what is happening on the ground and see where our resources can be directed to help fix this issue. We can't do it by ourselves. It absolutely has to be done with other partner councils and organisations.
Mr. Delacombs, just a couple of questions. I hope members don't mind this indulgence to get a couple of key facts out there. We brought in a bylaw. It's in place at the moment regarding cat curfew. Is it being enforced?
Yes, it is.
Do you have any interim results from the last few months?
Anecdotally, while I find the actual figures, we've certainly had an increase in reported cases, and I suspect that it's the issue might have been there, but I think the publicity of our bylaw has alerted the fact to residents that we will do more about it.
And Mr. Delacombs, have, as a result of the bylaw, have any cats been detained and either returned to their owners or taken to the RSPCA?
Yes, they have, but I would have to chase the specific numbers.
All right. From councillors, Councillor Masika, then Councillor Valescu.
Thanks, Your Worship. I'd like to start by saying, look, Cassandra, thank you so much for your loud and clear deputations. The message is very well received. And I would like to direct the question to Mr. Delacombe that how many cats in the council that are supposed to be desexed, but they haven't been desexed, those which has been referred in the deputation? And also, what the council has done, is there any specific program to support up those who can manage to pay the fees? And if the past, there was such a kind of program, how much do you think it's required to support up those who can't be able to fund the 46?
Good questions, Councillor. Thank you. Through the chair, the first question, if you remind me, Councillor, was around the number of cats desexed. And the answer is we don't know because registration isn't compulsory. And so we do have the statistics in this report around the number of desexed cats has doubled in recent years. It's up over 1,400. But because owners aren't required to register animals, we don't have an idea on the latent amount that aren't out there. But I can tell you that there were 2,800 desexed last year. In regards to fees, I think we would need to do some work on a program to investigate, and that's part of this new plan going forward. And I do put it to the chamber that we would be looking to draft a program coming forward, seeking funding through the program in able to deliver desexing programs.
Thank you, Councillor Valescu. Question?
Your Worship, I'd just like to apologise to Sandra. I was late. I missed the beginning of that session. My question is, do we know Onkaparinga, they have a generous benefactor that's subsidising some cats desexing? Do we have any information on that? So, you know, how many cats have they DSEX? What was the funding provided? How that ran? Generally, do we have that information and can that be provided to council at a later stage?
Specifically, no, we don't, but generally we do. And we've had some great conversations with the new CEO, the newly appointed CEO of the RSPCA, and they are very keen to work with us and on Cooperinga to deliver cross-council initiatives. That's certainly something we'll be exploring and reporting back to council.
Thank you. I think it's time we moved on to the next item. So thanks, Mr. Della Coombs. I'm sure the correspondence with Ms. Burnt will continue. And just one clarification, it's almost unimaginable that we would tie up the hands of one of our staff. So I can think of only very limited circumstances. So I think that might need to be clarified in the future correspondence with Ms. Burnt, what Council can and can't do. All right, on page 17, the Youth Collective Committee annual report, note that there are recommendations for decision in terms of the extent to which we expand the workforce in this area. And I note also that Councillor Mates put forward an alternative motion. So I'm not sure who would like to start the debate.
I've actually got a couple of questions.
Yes, Councillor Mates, go ahead.
So who am I directing them to?
Well, probably give us the question, and if Mr. Harrison can't or wishes to delegate it, then sure, we'll find someone to answer it. If I may be correct and proper about it, you are directing your questions to the chair of the meeting, and the chair of the meeting will refer that to someone else probably who knows more than he does.
Thank you for that clarification. So the YCC has noted several projects that they would like to achieve in the 2023 financial year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing these projects be developed. I noted through the report that we have a youth partnerships team, and the report mentions that the YCC operations are currently funded through the projects and partnerships team budget. Are you able to explain how much is currently being funded from these teams towards these projects, how it all works, and how many council staff are allocated towards these?
Thanks. So,
through the chair, I'm more than happy to answer that. So at the moment, we have 0.4 FTE allocated towards the youth partnership team. So that's 2 days a week. And then we have 2 days a week, obviously, allocated towards the youth collective committee. So we have a grants and partnerships model of youth engagement and youth development here in the city of Marion. So we have some youth grants. We have 120,000, I think, if I'm correct, allocated towards that annually. And then we have 90,000 allocated towards youth partnerships annually. And the youth collective committee, approximately 10,000 of that comes out of that youth collective, that youth partnerships budget.
Ms. Councillor Mates, does that answer the question well enough?
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. It's a question around that funding. Originally, when we set it up, there was 200,000 towards grants, and then ultimately that got split into partnership funding. Is there any reason we can't take the whole additional 20,000 out of the partnership funding? Because that was an additional fund set up in about 2016.
I suppose that's more of a high-level question. But, I mean, it's really a political question, because there's no logistical reason other than that if council resolves to move a bucket of money to employ more hours supporting the YCC, then it will have less money in that partnership grants fund. It is probably as simple as that. If there aren't any questions, would someone like to move a motion? Councillor Masika.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move the motion as printed in point 1, 2, and 3, and then I'll take you option 1, in that number 4. I'll take you option 1. And the reason of moving the motion is that we have a significant number of young people of the cohort of between 12 years and 25 years. And those are the next going to be the ratepayers in the coming years. And they have a lot of issues for themselves, and their project needs to be taken care of. I know we are dealing with the seniors, we are dealing with some other project, which projects with the neighborhood houses, but for young people specific, I think having somebody of 0.6 who can do coordination, it will be very important. The project will be undertaken, and also more weight will be given to the young generation of that cohort group will be mentioned. Thank you, Your Worship.
Seconded. I've got a question before we go on. I've got a seconder, Councillor Valescu.
I just want to clarify.
Question from Councillor Crossland.
If you scroll down, I thought that was the motion that was put forward by Councillor Mates, didn't you say? And now we've gone back up to the first one.
I invited a councillor, as in any councillor, to move a motion, and Councillor Masika has chosen to move the motion as printed with option one incorporated. It's been seconded by Councillor Valescu. For the benefit of councillors who have been with us since November, if any variation is sought when you seek a speaking opportunity, you can amend. But for the time being, I'll go to Councillor Valescu to second the motion if he wishes.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm happy to incorporate the changes in Councillor Mate's suggestions, because the amounts are still the same. It identifies as an increase, and it also calls for a report to explain the extra value provided from that increase in funding. So if that is essentially the same thing and the mover agrees...
Thank you. The motion is seconded. Councillor Mates wants to move an amendment. Now, I've had to think about whether the amendment is a direct negative of the motion. If it was a drastic alteration or a negative of the motion, then the amendment wouldn't be in order. So what I'm noting particularly is that if Councillor Mates is moving as per her suggested wording, she's asking for an additional report on what extra funding has achieved, and she's endorsing the additional hours, if I can put it that way, for 1 year rather than permanent.
Oh, okay, no, that's different.
And I think that's still within the spirit of the motion, so I'm allowing the amendment if Councillor Mates wants to proceed that way. So you just need to tell us, Councillor Mates, that you want to proceed with that amendment, if there's any variation to the wording, and then you've got your usual 2 minutes to speak to it.
Well, I want to clarify that I am supportive of endorsing the increase to the 0.6, as what Councillor Valescu has already mentioned. I suppose what I'm looking to move is that the 0.6 is for a 12-month period with a report coming back to council in 12 months. I think it's really important, and it is a great opportunity for the Youth Collective Committee to set some really clear objectives on what they want to achieve in the next year, and how they can best allocate funding and show this to council in the next 12 months.
Well, is that amendment seconded? Councillor Crossland seconds that.
Thank you, Your Worship. I think this is a prudent way of setting a budget. The achievements over the last 12 months are a bit woolly. It'd be nice to get those documented and actually show the additional events or achievements that can be achieved through this extra funding.
Very well. Do you have a point of order, Councillor Valescu?
I didn't actually get to speak on my motion. I said on the seconding.
Councillor Valescu, I believe you were speaking in seconding the motion. You had your speaking opportunity.
Was asking about whether that can be combined in that, because I hadn't seen it, and then I realised it was 1 year. I hadn't actually spoken on it.
I was fairly sure that you were speaking to the intent of the motion, so I think you've had your speaking opportunity, but you've made your position clear, so that's good. Now, the procedure when an amendment has been moved is that it's voted on immediately. So I'll just restate the position so everyone's clear on it. Councillor Masika's moving the motion as printed in the agenda with option one, which is a permanent addition of a day a week in terms of time allocated for staff to support the YCC. And the amendment is to make that for 1 year and to have a report reviewing the impact, I suppose, of additional support before making it permanent. So I think I'm stating that as fairly as I can. So who is in favour of the amendment that's been moved? Those against, raise your hand. So that's carried by majority. So we keep going with the debate. We're now dealing with the amended motion, and people can, I'll invite any councillor to speak for or against if they haven't already spoken. Thank you. If there are no further speakers, Councillor Masika gets to speak to close the debate. I beg your pardon, was there a hand going up? Yes, Councillor, sorry, I just didn't see it go up, Councillor Luscombe. So
thank you. Through the chair. Yeah, I'd like to advocate that the extra point two be endorsed on an ongoing basis. I think being the council liaison for the Youth Collective Committee, I've had the opportunity to attend a meeting and I've had the opportunity to speak with some of the young people involved, and I've been really impressed at the amount of work that they've been able to achieve over only a few meetings so far. I think members saw the beautiful artwork that was here for those that were able to attend. There's some remarkable young people in this group. They really are incredible, and I'd really like to provide them with every opportunity to contribute to our community. And I think the other thing to note is that with the FTE that's been available thus far, I think has been required for the incumbent to work outside of hours and to merge that FTE with other FTE that the incumbent has had at another council. And it unfortunately has meant that person has had to do hours outside of work, as far as I'm getting the gist of. So I really would like to support this as an ongoing base. I think it's a really good cause, and it's worth us investing in our young people, and that's what this the original motion hopes to achieve. And so I'm in support of the original motion, and I'm not in support of the amendment. Thank you.
You have a point of order, Councillor Velescu?
Question?
Well, really, you've had your chance to speak, but if it's a factual question only, I'll allow it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to hear how it's more advantageous to the work that's been done that it's ongoing funding as opposed to yearly funding.
That does seem a fairly self-evident response, but any extremely brief response from management? What's the advantage of having more money over a longer time rather than a shorter time?
I believe for the longevity of any role, knowing that it's ongoing, you get a greater investment. For the position to think that maybe that it's going back down again, there's uncertainty for the individual, which isn't great. But also I think the value has already been shown. Shannon already works a lot of these hours on top of her paid day job. And I think the value is there, and this would honour those additional hours.
Well, just thanks, Mr. Keane, but I would caution managers about entering into the debate. That's a slightly different thing.
Apologies.
Is that a point of order, Councillor Crossland, or since we're on the question merry-go-round, have you got one?
Yeah, go ahead.
If
you're asking questions, can you tell me what happened with the funding for the other council? What did they decide and why?
Holdfast Bay had some joint funding. Is that what you meant, Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, I appreciate we were sharing the funding, and I just wondered what had happened to that joint initiative.
Through the chair, thank you so much. Also, I've realised I've not introduced myself. I'm Shannon. I'm the Youth Collective Committee Officer. I'd also just like to say hello to all the Youth Collective Committee members here. Thanks so much for coming. You didn't have to. And to answer your question, it wasn't necessarily shared funding. It was I held a role at both Holdfast Bay and the City of Marion. So I was the Youth Collective Committee Officer here. a day and a half at that point. And then I was the youth and recreation coordinator at the City of Holfast Bay, leading their youth development over there, and also parks and playground stuff, which was very fun, for a maternity contract. So I was able to collaborate, and being in charge of both committees and being involved with both committees meant that there were opportunities available to me that weren't otherwise. So it wasn't so much shared funding, so much as shared resource by myself working in both councils at the same time.
I think we can now go to Councillor Masika to close the debate. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Your Worship. I say, look, it's a win-win situation for the young people who are in the chamber and those who are outside the chamber. I know we've taken different routes from what we thought it was direct route, but I believe the additional 0.2, which full-time equivalent has been added there for 1 year, it will allow the youth to do more projects. And also, as a council, we look forward to read up those reports. The better you do those projects and you accomplish them, it will be good and easy for the council to make that decision to make it ongoing. So it's a win decision, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks. All those in favour of the motion as amended, please raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by a majority. So, congratulations to the YCC and to staff for that. Now, what I'm going to suggest next, councillors, is to pick out a few of the reports where the chair thinks there would probably be little debate and they could be moved en bloc. I'm talking about the schedule of delegations, which is a fairly technical update of the traffic delegations that we have within the organisation due to changes in the law, the project management framework, which has been discussed informally at a briefing, the Cormorant Drive Reserve Aleppo Pine removal upgrade. Might be worth hearing a little bit about the history of that, but it is just for noting, it is a program that's already underway, and the WHS report. So could I just have an indication, would anyone like me to pick out any of those that shouldn't be moved en bloc? No, well, then I'll go to Councillor Telfer. You want to move those?
Those en bloc. And I will ask one question about the project management. I'm interested in the issue that if staff have been working in those areas and now there is a new project team, what happens to those half-time, quarter-time opportunities that arise from creating a project team with new people in it?
Keen might answer that. Thanks.
Yes, of course. So the PMO, the Project Management Office, is a additional resource, and it's not undertaking the same role that the current project delivery teams are undertaking. So there's quite a distinction. The Project Management Office is focused on the governance and assurance, not on the delivery of the projects.
So did you have anything else, Councillor Telfer? Then Councillor Pryor wanted to second. I'll take the second. I'll come back for questions. Send it to Councillor Pryor. No further contribution. Question from Councillor Crossland.
It's a picky point, but can I just have some clarification why on the project management we're asked to endorse it when normally we just note it? Because at the end of the day, it's an operational decision, and we're not having to endorse that you carry on with it. We're just noting the information.
I think that's
the next question. Really, all we should be, that's right, it is an operational matter.
Quite simply, so under the Local Government Act, I think it would be just a matter of noting what management are doing. Ms. McKenzie, any comment?
Through the chair, yes, the document can be noted. It does have a role and roles and responsibilities in there for council as well, which is why you may want to endorse it.
I do note that the framework itself doesn't have the business about payments and managers and ranks that's in the report. So the motion is to endorse the framework beginning on page 131. But Councillor Crossland, if you wished to simply, well, I don't know, does Mr. Harrison, have you got a view?
Through the chair, likewise, I sought advice before we actually decide on the wording of the resolution. The suggestion that was provided by Ms. McKenzie was that because it was proposed to be very much an embedded philosophy, practice and principles on project management within the organisation, that endorsement could be sought for achieving that degree of status. But also there is a relationship with the operational component of managing projects and also the approval process, which is connected for some projects, which will come through the chamber as well.
Councillor Crossland, are you satisfied?
I'm happy with that response. Thank you, Your Worship.
Very well. Now, there were other questions. Councillor Luscombe.
Thank you. Through the chair, I did have a question in relation to the Aleppo Pine report. Would that be appropriate to table that now, or is that a later?
Well, it is quite the right time. And I think this is one where we could have an officer giving a brief report, because I think the history, everyone needs to be familiar broadly with the history. It was essentially a contest between native vegetation and long-standing Aleppo pines. So we'll have a very short briefing on that, and then that may answer the question, or I'll come back to you, Councillor Luscombe.
Thank you, Councillor Luscombe. Yeah, so just to start, I've come in on this project well over halfway through. So I've picked up from previous coordinator of biodiversity. Essentially, as the mayor just said, it was Aleppo pines are obviously a declared weed in South Australia. The lower Field River is a really important biodiversity space. It has high ecological value. It also has a really important Kaurna history. This project to stage the removal of the Aleppo pines was done through consultation with ecological consultants. And essentially so far we've removed 29 out of the 34 Aleppo pines. There's still 2 years remaining, but so far the project's been remarkably successful. There's some really good revegetation outcomes, and with 2 years to go, we're certainly on track to deliver a really important local project. Thank you.
So, Councillor Luscombe.
Thank you very much. Through the chair, I just had a question. I think from residents down there, just around the impact of the removal. I mean, I totally understand why they need to be removed, but I guess the impact on residents around shade and also wind protection. I just wondered your thoughts on that, and further, if there were any other plans, I guess, to remediate any effects that might have been felt with regard to shade and wind protection with further biodiversity plantings. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Look, whilst in the short term, there's definitely some issues around shade and wind. Long term, this is going to be a long term commitment through council. There's revegetation underway, including river red gums being spaced and planted at appropriate distance apart. We're also planting she oaks and other local native trees and shrubs. So whilst at the moment, yes, it looks bare, long term, we're talking 100 years from now, which is the aim of this project, it's certainly will change the landscape there, and that those shade and wind issues will over time start to reduce.
Other questions? Then it's been moved and seconded, those four reports. If there are no more speakers, anything further, Councillor Telfer? No, then I'll put those four motions. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we can go to page 76, Animal Management Plan for Consultation. I've raised some points offline about things that could be added, but it's up to you, councillors, who would like to proceed. Councillor Blescu.
Do we suspend standing order so there can be a little bit of discussion if members wish?
Sure. That's been moved. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor. All those in favour of suspending standing orders? Yes, that's carried unanimously. Did you want to kick off, Councillor Valescu, with any issues or questions?
I'm happy to wait.
Anybody else want to talk about what should or shouldn't be in there?
I
think the perhaps I can take the opportunity to mention that I do get queries from community about foxes, snakes, and wasps, and to have them not mentioned at all might leave some people asking questions. But Mr. Della Coombs, what could be done about that?
Thank you. Through the chair, page 106 of the agenda, which is page 25 of the plan, talks about other animals, which is where we have the section on wasps, bees, and foxes. So in conversation, we've agreed, staff have agreed to change some of the language in there to make it crystal clear, outline council's responsibility. So it is in there that where the responsibilities lie.
Sorry, I do note that page 108, snakes is there, but not foxes or wasps.
106.
Oh, sorry, wasps are there on 106. Got snakes. Oh, we have.
Yep.
Okay. Has this been changed from the draft? Oh, okay. Then maybe the mayor was chasing a wrong animal. Councillor Hoffman.
Report. When I was reading through this report, I was amazed that there wasn't mandatory cat registration. So can you just talk to the council with regards to that?
Through the chair, cat registration is not mandatory under the Dog and Cat Management Act. Cat de-sexing and microchipping is. The requirement to register your microchip is mandatory, but the require to formally register your cat is not. In the City of Marion Cats bylaw, we do have a provision that allows council to impose a mandatory registration program should they wish.
Right. Councillor Valescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. My first question is, why can't we consider removing wasp nests on private property? I know that was the case probably a couple of decades now, that council, I know at least Mitcham Council would do that. Why isn't that something that we can do?
Mr. Della Coombs.
Through the chair, I don't think there's anything technically stopping us doing it other than a resourcing question, but I'm happy to follow up and see whether there are any legislative barriers to us doing it. But I believe it's historically been a funding question.
Yes, I'd be interested to know what the resource impacts could be, and obviously if we would get somebody else to do that on our behalf.
Yeah, through the chair, I imagine we would use a private contractor to undertake that.
My other question, and I guess more of a point, is really to look at what can we do to assist with some of the issues raised by Mrs. Byrne about cat de-sexing. Generally, I wouldn't want to suggest that we fund other programs, other services, but this really complements what we do, and this is actually an opportunity for us to save money. So I think it works really well. So just if we can investigate some of those options, I think it's really important, and it'll pay off dividend as well. Obviously, we need to know the organisations and be happy with what we're supporting and the outcomes, but yeah, that's my other comment.
So, Mr. Joel Coombs?
Through the chair, I think the plan gives us a clear commitment to follow up some of these initiatives and to better manage this issue. It's going to take more than City of Marion, as raised before, but this I believe this plan does give us the impetus to call into favour more groups that we perhaven't engaged with in the past.
Just one more point in regards to the CAT curfew. Are we looking at possible avenues of support for people? You know, for example, you know, is there subsidies available for people to put cat netting around their property so their cat can go out as opposed to staying in? Are there those sort of things that have been looked at by other councils that we could look into as well?
Mr. Delacombs.
Currently, we don't have any funding for such programs, and I'm not aware of any programs being run by other councils, but it is something we can look into.
Councillor Masika.
Thanks, Your Worship. My question is a follow-up question similar, which was asked by Councillor Hoffman. You have mentioned that there's no compulsory registration of the cats under Dogs and Cats Management Act. So how can you compare Marion Council with the local other neighboring councils? Do they have any bylaw forcing the residents who wants to own the cats to register them? And if we are going to develop a bylaw to force people to register, is this bylaw will be required to go to the parliament again to be shut down like the previous one, or what will happen?
Yeah, bylaws always have to go to the parliament, and we must also bear in mind policies of the Dog and Cat Management Board, which is a state body. Mr. Delacombs.
Thank you. So through the chair, in response, council's bylaw currently allows the provision for mandatory registration, so we wouldn't have to change the bylaw. It'd be a motion of council. Secondly, in terms of comparison with neighbouring councils, with great difficulty, because they do have different rules. That's part of the reason why we've advocated consistently for statewide solutions. We have had a number of councils. We have had a number of councils inquire with regards to our cat bylaw process, seeking to copy it, which would obviously make it easier to have more consistent powers throughout each of our regional areas. I should just point out, just in regards to the stats and some of the questions that were raised earlier in the last item on page 126, we do have an attachment, and you had the numbers there. So the numbers are there on desexing and complaints under the bylaw.
Questions, Councillor Pryor?
Yes, I do. Just as a follow-up to the last statement about cat registrations, we did look at that last council, and it was quite expensive for us to administer a system like that, just for those who are thinking about the ramifications of that. My question is about the old favourite of barking dogs. Is there a way that we can implement, or that we can deal with barking dogs that isn't through the Local Nuisance and Littering Act, because that is problematic for our residents and it's very rarely leads anywhere?
Mr. Delacombs.
Thank you. Through the chair, I'd have to say I think the majority of our barking dog cases do get resolved successfully.
Do you mean by people giving up?
No.
Please give us more detail.
I think we've recently, in the last 6 months, reviewed the barking dog procedure, and obviously the animal management plan does give us that impetus to review it regularly. So I think we've changed shortened the time period which people have to take their diaries and submit issues. However, we do still struggle with people submitting even a base level of detail for us to proceed with our investigation, which does result in it taking a longer time. We require the bare minimum of evidence that we would need in order to substantiate the nuisance issue in court. So in our information guide, which we have readily available, it does detail why we need the evidence that we do need. However, yeah, I'm happy to take more discussion online if you councillor has particular issues with any unresolved issues or issues of people giving up.
Look, I only have anecdotal evidence of people giving up, but I think our system's improved a lot. What I'm looking for is where there's another way for us to deal with it that's not, you know, keep a diary and then however it goes down the process. And if the answer to that question's no, there isn't, then that's the answer to the question. So it's fine.
Just to clarify, it is the Dog and Cat Management Act that we are adhering to, not local nuisance. Yeah. So
does the Dog and Cat Management Act require keeping of barking diaries by neighbours? I wouldn't have thought so.
My understanding was it was a local nuisance and litter.
Through the chair, no, there's no requirement to keep a barking dog diary. In the process of investigating a barking dog matter, one method of evidence collection is requesting that a neighbour keep a barking dog diary to assist council in gathering the evidence needed to prove a barking dog.
Perhaps further questions could be taken offline, Councillor Pryor. This is Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. Could you just refresh my memory? I know that to cover off the registration of dogs and administering that database, what is the cost that we would have to implement for a cat registration? Because I'm guessing it would be very similar. What is the amount we currently get residents to pay?
I don't have the answer to that with me tonight. I wasn't involved in the process to investigate a cat registration program in the last council.
So I'll ask him.
Thank you. Through the chair, I just had a question about partially owned cats. And I wonder if this is just a question, I suppose. I wonder if in the community people think they're doing the right thing by feeding cats and sort of half looking after them, but they're not necessarily de-sexing them or preventing them from having kittens. I just wonder about the education campaigns to that end around informing the public about partially owned cats and that you're wanting them to fully adopt the cats and what that would look like if you're going to provide education campaigns around those partially owned cats. Thank you.
Thank you, through the chair. So strategy objective 8.2 in the plan, which is page 102 of the agenda, does talk about promoting responsible cat ownership. And one of the actions within that is to support and encourage people responsible for semi-owned cats to take full ownership. So this is something new in the plan that we'll work out how best to support that with the guidance that you've just mentioned, Councillor.
Any final questions? Look, I don't think there's really any need for suspension of standing orders, so let's get into formal debate. Would someone like to move a motion? Councillor.
Thank you. Through the chair, I'd like to move the motion as printed that we endorse the draft City of Marion Animal Management Plan for 23-28 and that it go out to community consultation. I think we've had a forum on this issue and now had the opportunity to engage in further questions. I've also had some email correspondence. I think it's a thorough plan. I think it addresses a lot of the issues that we have raised and that have been raised by community groups and other organisations around pet ownership and managing animals. I think it's a good plan and I'd like to move that we endorse it tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Valescu?
Thank you, Your Worship. And maybe some of those questions can be taken on board by staff as well. My only thing just to be aware, members, is that we did look at the issue of cat registration and there's a cost, but also there's an impact on people. I think most residents would be happy to de-sex their cat and pay for that. But once we sort of ask for a mandatory registration regime on top of that with extra cost, I think that's something that perhaps may lose us some goodwill, unless it's something that is consistently brought in through the state government. So I would just urge some caution that we just actually look at the issues and leave registration out for us as long as possible.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we jump to page 186, which is the final item on the agenda then, curb ramps. Now, I was in discussion with some of the managers earlier, so I'm not sure if they've formulated anything else. The report is one for noting, but the question or concern I raised with them was the fact that we've got a 25-year funding pipeline, $400,000 a year plus inflation. And it may get to the end of that 25 years that we're still putting in curb ramps, even on little cul-de-sacs tucked away in the suburbs where there are very few pedestrians at all. So I'm not sure if managers had any further thoughts about that.
Thank you, through the chair. So following our discussion this afternoon, we have provided a draft additional recommendation, and that includes developing a replacement program that's focused on upgrading priority curb ramps. There are a number of aspects that could make it a priority, including whether there's a curb ramp on the other side of the street, whether the curb ramps are aligned properly, and also based on resident demand. But the key criteria centres around destinations.
First of all, any questions about that? Basically, you have two choices before you, councillors. If you choose to simply note the report, then we go on with the $400,000 a year funding for 25 years or so until every single curb ramp is done, every single sort of crossover is done. If you endorsed the wording that's up on the screen about a 10-year plan, then basically you have prioritised curb ramps that are done, which according to the report is around 28% of them, and then you have a pause to stop and consider how much and how much further you want to go and how much you want to spend. One of the reasons for this was because once you approve an ongoing budget, you, as councillors, you won't see it again if it's purely operational. So you can do all of the high ones, you can do all the medium ones, you can work through the low ones, but you won't necessarily get a report coming back specifically unless you take it in chunks, like even if it's 10 years at a time. So, but it's entirely up to you whether you want to simply note the report and carry on as we are, or if you want to check in after 10 years, then management have provided additional wording. It's up to you. Councillor Masika.
Thanks, Your Worship. I'd like to move the motion as printed on the board that we go for 10 years rather than 25 years. And the reason for that, we know those curbs which needs to be done. The priority areas, we agree with it. We can take 10 years to fix up those which we believe needs to be done, and the report comes back and see how many have been left, and we can commit more funds rather than leaving it for 25 years. Probably it will be too long, even we might lost in terms of that motion or that agreement or that funds which are available. So 10 years review, we did more or we did less, and then keep moving.
Is that motion seconded? Councillor Taylor, wish to speak to it?
Yeah, I think it's it. I endorse the 10-year plan as well. It gives us an opportunity as a council to actually report back to our residents as well about an important program. So, yeah, that's why I'm supporting that.
Councillor Valescu.
Your Worship, my question to staff is how much, what would be the appropriate lead-in time for a decision to carry on beyond the 10 years? And if I can please provide some context, if we give this 9.5 years time, we get the report and approve it, it may not be enough time to plan ahead for the next 10 years resource-wise. So would staff be able to tell us the time at which council can make a decision whether to proceed with a further 10 years or beyond, as in time for staff to be able to plan accordingly?
Mr. Keane.
Through the chair. So the asset management plans are updated every 4 years, and they're going to be updated again next year. Yes, just checking. So
I'd suggest that a report came on in year nine. That gives us a chance to update the asset management plans, and also it's ahead of the budget post going past year 10.
Any other questions, Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, do we need against that in the motion, or is that?
It's been moved. It's been seconded. Did you wish to speak against it?
No, I have a question.
Question? Yes, go ahead.
My question is that with our my favourite part of the council website, forestry, we have a plan for where we're rolling out trees throughout our city. Do we have the same thing, probably not in as advanced a format, for where we're actually doing these curb ramps? Because I know the curb ramps around my local area were cut years ago to cut the old ones out. They've been cut for years, and those curb ramps are just degrading because they've been cut. So I asked a question a couple of years ago about when they were getting replaced, and I haven't got an answer yet.
Mr. Allen?
Through the chair, we have a similar program and we use a GIS system called ESRI. So we know where the non-compliant curb ramps are located. What we haven't done as effectively as is done in forestry is update the data. Now, we are getting another data set next financial year, so we'll have updated data then. In terms of those curb ramps that haven't been completed, we did shift away from, I suppose, a little bit of an ad hoc approach to the curb ramp replacements to a more proactive, well-planned, prioritised approach. So that's probably why those curb ramps haven't been completed.
So just a follow-up of what do you want me to do with those curb ramps? Do you want me to report them to you so we can fix them up, or do you? Because I mean, the edges of where they've been cut are degrading. So, I mean, obviously we cut them nice and clean for a reason.
At the moment, we don't know whether they're in that high priority bucket or not, but it sounds like it might be worth putting them in on the system, and then they can be dealt with by staff accordingly.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable way forward. I might take that offline with Mr. Allen, and we can talk about it, because more than one curb ramp, obviously, and some of those will be high priority, some will definitely be low. Yeah.
And I can say that in my discussions with management, they did say that, well, there may have, as they went around and allocated high, medium, low priorities, if somebody came along and said, actually, this is the way I need to go, it's not the usual way to the train station, but I need to go this way, can you fix this up? Then my understanding is it would be put on the high list. So there would be a reactive element as well, and things like that, which may not have been picked up in a massive order of thousands of ramps. Councillor Pryor, anything else?
Yeah, I prefer the planned response than the squeaky wheel response, but I'd just like to see the planned response first, and then we can discuss what squeaky wheel modifications we need, I think, is the option. So when you get that plan, Mr. Allen, that'll be good to see. Thank you.
Very well. If there aren't any other questions or comments, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. So I declare the general council meeting closed. So I suggest we have a 5-minute break. By my computer, it's 7:35. So come back in 5 minutes. And we're going into a confidential session because it's our internal budget discussions before we come up with a consultation draft, which will go out to the public. So just to be clear, the next session will be limited to those people who are named in the confidential order.